Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming. So we are going to be speaking about... Hi Gidon, how are you? We're going to be speaking about the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, the period that we find ourselves in now. The Aseres Yimei Teshuva is a tremendous opportunity because the Pasuk says that Hashem reaches out to us during this time and our tshuva is not rejected. So it's a very, very special time. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the famous Gemara, Tez Zayin Amud Beis, Omar Rav Krus Bedoy, Omar Rav Yochanan, Rav Krus Bedoy says in the name of Rav Yochanan, Shloisha Svarim Niftachim, for Rosh Hashanah. Three books are opened on Rosh Hashanah. It's like the Mefarshim explain, obviously, there isn't a physical book up in Shemayim. It's an expression that everything, Hashem keeps track of everything. Three books are opened up on Rosh Hashanah. Echad shel Rishoyim Gemurin. One book is reserved for the utterly wicked. Imagine such a thing, somebody who is utterly wicked. Echad shel Tzadikim Gemurin. Another book is opened for those that are utterly righteous. No question. Totally righteous. The Echad Shel Beinonim, and then there's another book that's opened for the Beinoni, for the average person, the person in between. So, Tzadikim Gemurin, so the utterly righteous, are Nechtavin V'Nechtamim La'altar L'chaim. So they are immediately written and sealed for life. Like we talked about this last week, that we 2 weeks ago actually, that we wish everyone... we wish everyone that you should the Shana Toiva Tikasev Isechosim La Alter Lachaim Toivim Ulashalom. That's a reference to the Tzadikim, Nechtovim Benechtomim La Alter Lachaim, Rishoyim Gemurim, the utterly wicked are Nechtovim Benechtomim La Alter Lamisa. They're immediately written and sealed for death. And Beinonim, the average, are Tluyim Vo'imdim. So their din is pending. From Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, Zachu, if they merit, Nechtavim L'chaim. Loi Zachu, if they don't merit, Nechtavim L'misa. So that's the end of the Gemara. So obviously the Gemara, it seems to like very, very oversimplify the Cheshbin. There are three categories. There are the utterly righteous, the utterly wicked, there's the average. The Mefarshim ask the obvious question that we sometimes find that the wicked prosper. We sometimes find that the righteous pass away this year. And many Mefarshim, many answers are given to this question. Tosfos's answer, which I'm not going to go into right now so much, Tosfos's answer is that this Gemara is referring to the din of Olam Haba. And Tosfos there has a very important yesod, that when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, we're not just being judged about the coming year in the physical world, but our entire status as a ben Olam Haba, whether we have a portion in Olam Haba, even now, do we have a portion waiting for us in Olam Haba? Or Chas V'Shalom, there are those of us who don't. Chas V'Shalom, we're trying to learn, we're trying to strive, we automatically have a portion in Olam Haba. And it makes a difference even while we're alive in this world. We should all live to a May of Yesh Roshana, but it makes a difference to Hashem, even right now, in the here and now, whether we have a portion in the next world. And that will determine what the din is in this world. So Tosfos explains, for example, you might have an utterly righteous person where it's time for him to go. Or you might have the utterly righteous person where he has one Aveira. So if he gets Yisurin, if he has troubles and trials and travails in this world, he'll have a clean slate by the time he gets to Olam Haba. So Tosfos explains that it is a very simple cheshbon. It's just that the calculations are beyond our comprehension because we're not even talking about this life. We're talking about how Hashem looks at us based on our portion in Olam Haba, and that will determine, for the good or for the bad, what our portion should be in this world. And sometimes the righteous come out with a punishment, and sometimes the wicked come out having a good year because there's not going to be anything left for them in the next world. So that's what Tosfos explains. I'm not going to go into that right now. I want to talk more about some lessons that we can take out from the ideas that are said about this Gemara. Now, the Gemara in Kiddushin says the following, a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Amen, Mamad Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, This Gemara is not even referring to the Aseres Yimei Tshuva or the Yom HaDin specifically. This Gemara is talking about all year round. A person should always look at himself as if his merit is exactly equal to his chiyuv, to his iniquities. Zakai, the person should use this. I should always view myself as if I'm already balancing on the scale. And this should be like a motivational tool. Zakai, if I merit asam mitzvah achas, and I perform even one more mitzvah, ashrav, fortunate is he, shehechriya imoy lekaf schus, because he just, the one mitzvah, it tips the scale in his favor. Over avera achas, but if he does another avera, oiloy, then woe is to him, shehechriya satzmoy lekaf choyva, because he tilted the scale and he brought himself to the side of choyv. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, v'choytei echad yuiva toiva harvei, that even one sin could cause the person to lose a lot. Why? V'shvil chet yichidi shechata oivid mimenu toivis harvei, because he could have tipped the scale in his favor, and instead the one sin was all it took to tip the scale against himself. So the Gemara teaches us like an attitude towards life. We should look at it as if every action that we do is going to make all the difference in the world. The person shouldn't think that what's one thing going to do, what's one more action this way or that way going to accomplish. We should look at ourselves as if our life is hanging in the balance, and all it takes will be one action to tip the scale. And then the Gemara goes further. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Lefi Sheha'olam Nidoin Acharubai, Hashem judges the entire world. And we know there's a halachic principle, rubo kikulo, that the majority is as if it's the whole. So Hashem will judge the entire world. What factor, what's the criteria for a good judgment? Rubo, it just takes the majority of the world. V'hayochad nidoin achar rubai, and the individual will be judged in accordance with the majority. He'll be schlepped along with the majority. Asam mitzvah achas. So now, if a person performs just one mitzvah, Ashrav, fortunate is he, shehechriya es atzmoy ves kol ha'oilam lekaf schus. So the person should look at it as if the entire world, not just my own personal, my own private life. A person should look at it as if the entire world is hanging in the balance. And I am also on the scale. All it takes is for me to do one mitzvah, that will be machriya myself into being a tzaddik. And then that will automatically be machriya, that will tilt the scale of the entire world. And one action that I do could tilt my scale and therefore the entire world scale, the kapsus. And the contrary, obad aver achas, if a person does one sin, oiloi, woe is to him, shehechriyas atzmoy veskolo oilom lekaf koiva, because he can tilt the scale against himself and thereby perhaps tilt the entire world scale against itself. Shenemar, again, the same pasuk, b'choyt yechad, all it takes is one sin to lose a lot. That it's possible for one person to do one avera, over mimenu umikol ha'olam toiva harbe. It's possible for he and the rest of the world to lose out on a lot. So the Gemara is telling us that every action counts. We have to look at it that way, because it might even be true. It might be that Hashem is waiting for the one more mitzvah, and the one more mitzvah will tilt my scale and the entire world scale, because after all, one more tzaddik could tilt the entire world scale lekaf schus, and the entire world could be judged favorably because of the one action that one person somewhere did. So that is a motivational tool that we can use to inspire ourselves to realize that every action that we do has potential to make the difference. You know, like the expression goes, every vote counts. It's the same thing. Every action that we do, it's not going to be buttle. It's not just going to be nullified in millions of actions. It's possible that one action can make all the difference. So the Gemara in Kedushin, this is an item gimel, the Gemara in Kedushin is telling us, it's trying to emphasize the chashivas and the consequences of every single action. And it's possible for one action to be machriya, everything lekapschus, to the side of merit and the entire world, like we're saying. Now, there's a famous Rambam, and everybody is bothered with the Rambam. Why should it be that way, and what's the source for the Rambam? Rambam says the following. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, so he copies the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, when he quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, but he makes an important difference. Ashinoi Ktzas, he has a slight difference that makes a big difference. The Rambam says the following, Ukeshem Sheshoiklin Zchuyis Va'avoy Noisov Bishas Misasai. So the Rambam reminds us that after 120, when a person passes away, they measure, they weigh his mitzvahs and his averis at the time of his death. And then he'll be judged where he should be during that intermediate state before Mashiach comes, before Tchiyas HaMesim, and before the person has the full Olam Haba. There's an intermediate state where the Neshama goes, the Olam HaNeshamas. So the person is judged upon his death if he's a Tzaddik or a Rasha. Says the Rambam, Kach b'kol shana v'shana, shleik l'navoynes kolecha v'yechad, mi'ba'e ha'olam. So just like a person is judged on the Yom HaMisa, so too a person is judged every single year on Rosh Hashanah, and I highlighted Miboi Ha'olam, that the person, every single person that walks the face of the earth is judged, Jew and non-Jew alike. We mentioned that Hashem gives us the tools that we can pass the judgment with his merit on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Now the Rambam says like this, Mishanim Tzadik, the one who is found to be a Tzadik, Nechtam L'chaim, he's sealed for life immediately on Rosh Hashanah. Misha Nimsa Rasha, the person who is found to be wicked, Nechtam L'misa. So he is sealed for death. And again, the Mefarshim discuss that it doesn't always appear to us that way, but the Gemara could be referring to the judgment in Olam Haba, that based on that, that's how our year will turn out. Now here's the big difference. Habenoni, the average person, the person in the middle, Toilin Oisoi, his din is pending, Ad Yom HaKippurim, and Im Asa Tshuva, if the person repents, nechtam l'chaim, v'imlav nechtam l'misa. If the person repents, then the person is sealed for life. If he does not repent, then he's sealed for death. The average person, the person who's in the middle, the person who's tali v'oimid, the person who's on the scale, he's in the balance, his merit will be tshuva. If he does tshuva, then he'll be zoicha l'chaim. If he doesn't do tshuva, then it will be the opposite. So everybody asks on the Rambam. The Rambam changes the words of the Gemara from Zahu. The Gemara doesn't specify that the only way for the average person to merit between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is specifically, exclusively through tshuva. The Rambam, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Zahu, if he merits. But the Rambam explains that the Gemara is specifically and exclusively referring to tshuva. So the question is, number one, why should that be? If the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that sometimes one action can make a difference, and if the person is hanging in the balance, one action can make every difference in the world, why can't any mitzvah potentially tip the scale? Why does it have to specifically be tshuva? And the second question is, how does the Rambam know this? What's the source of the Rambam? Those are the two questions. Now, it's not just the Rambam. Everybody asks it on the Rambam. It's not just the Rambam. Rabbeinu Hananel on the Sugya says the same thing. Rabbeinu Hananel is an early Rishon that's printed on the side of the Gemara, and he says the same thing as the Rambam. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes, Zachu va'asu tshuva nechtam l'chaim. Rabbeinu Hananel says the same thing. If the person merits, and Rabbeinu Hananel explains, what could we do to merit? We have to do tshuva. Zachu va'asu tshuva. If the person merits, i.e., how does he merit? He does tshuva. And if loy zachu, what does it mean not to merit? It means he does not merit to do tshuva. Then it's going to be the opposite. So Rabbeinu Hananel says the exact same thing as the Rambam, that the only merit that a Beinoni has, the only thing he can possibly do to during this intermediate days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is to do tshuva, to repent, to think, to introspect, to think about where we were strong, where we were weak, where we failed, where we fell short, what we can do to improve. We have to express remorse. We have to implement takanas, resolutions that could help correct our mistakes for next year. So that's what a Beinoni has to do. That is his schus. That's what he has to do to merit. So Rabbeinu Hananel says the same thing as the Rambam. The Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, says the same thing. In Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, so it says, Omer Rav Kruspa. So the Yerushalmi always has a little bit different words. If you notice, the Bavli Chris Bedoy. It's spelled differently and it's pronounced a little differently. Presumably it's the same person. Omarav Kruspa. The Yerushalmi quotes him as was Kruspa in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's the same. Shalosh Pinkisois, a Pinkas. The Yerushalmi doesn't call it a book. It calls it a ledger. Three ledgers are open. One of the Tzadikim Gemurim, one of the Rishoyim Gemurim, and one of the Beinunim. So the Tzadikim Gemurim, Kfar Notlu Ifufsi. So it's a funny, a strange Aramaic word. The Mefarshim explained, the Chosim Shel Chaim, he already gets sealed for life. That's what this word Ifufsi means. On Rosh Hashanah, the Rishoyim Gemurim, so they get their Ifufs, that's that word. They get their decree, the Rosh Hashanah, for the opposite. Beinonim, so the Yushalmi says, Kfar Nitin Lohen Aseret Yimei Tshuva. It was given to them the 10 days of Tshuva, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Im Asu Tshuva, Nechtovim Im Atzadikim, Vim Lav, Nechtovim Im Rishoyim. And the Yushalmi says the same thing. That's the source of the Rambam, the source of Rabbeinu Hananel. Even though the Bavli, even though our Gemara leaves it vague, the Rambam, our Gemara says, Im Zahu, if they merit, but the Yushalmi already clarifies that the merit is specifically through tshuva, only through repentance. Now, I realize myself that really the Bavli itself says the same thing earlier on Yud Zayin Omid Beis. It's actually later. The Gemara on the next blot says the same thing, and I actually was wondering why the ones who asked the question on the Rambam, why didn't they cite the question on the Gemara itself, on Yud Zayin Omid Beis? I saw that Rav Aaron Cutler's itself, he also asks that on the ones who ask on the Rambam, they should have asked it on the Gemara itself, because it actually is in the Bavli also. Even though the Gemara says on Tezayin that Zahu, if they merit, but the Gemara itself says on Yud Zayin Omid Beis, Hashav Bein Tayim Moichel Imoy, one who repents during this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is pardoned. Loi Shav Bein Tayim, the one who does not repent, Afilu Hevi Kol Eilei Nevoya Sheba Oilam, even if he brings the choicest rams as sacrifices, Ein Moichel Imoy, is going to be too late. So the Bavli itself brings a brisa that a Beinoni, an average person, has to do tshuva. It doesn't even say Obeinoni, it says everyone. Hashav Bein Tayim. We have to do tshuva in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's not going to help to bring sacrifices, to do all sorts of things afterwards. It's going to be too late. These days were given for repentance, and Hashav Bein Tayim, someone who repents during this time, Hashem will pardon him, and if not, then Chas V'Shalom. So it's clear from the Gemara that the derech for Obeinoni is only through tshuva. I put in the brackets that it's a question why the commentaries didn't bring this Gemara as a source for the Rambam. In any case, that would be a source for the Rambam. The Rambam says it, Rabbeinu Hananel says it, it's Yerushalmi, and it's even a Bavli later on Daf Yud Zayin in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So that explains the source. Even though the Gemara says Zachu, if we merit, but the Mefarshim explained the way to merit is through Tshuva. But the question is, in item Ches, why should it be like that? Why should it be only through tshuva, and why can't we tilt the din in our favor with any mitzvah, like the Gemara in Kedushin says? The Gemara in Kedushin says that we're supposed to go through life that way. So the Gemara tells us in Kedushin that we're supposed to go through life that way, realizing and recognizing that every action we do could tilt the scale in our favor. That's the Gemara in Kedushin. So why can't we actually do that on Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Why can't the one mitzvah make a difference? We're talking about a Beinoni. There are three fundamental answers to this question, and each of the answers is correct. In other words, they could all be true, because each answer has a very strong point. The first answer, and I call it the Rosh and the Rishoina, the very first answer, because the one who popularized this question was Rav Itzla Blazer, the Rav of Petersburg, of subsequently Leningrad. I think it's now called again St. Petersburg again. So Rav Itzla Blazer, remember we learned a piece from him, we learned an essay from him not long ago, a few weeks ago, before El, that the way to prepare for the Yom HaDin is to get online first. The earlier we start preparing, the first online will be, and we'll merit, we'll get from the bucket of Rachamim. So that was the famous Rav Itzel Petterberger, Rav Yitzchak Blaser. So this is, it's his question. He's the one who popularized this question. He was like a prime disciple of Rav Yisrael Salanter, one of the great Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter. He's the one who implemented the Musar movement. He was successful to implement the Musar movement into the yeshivas. That was Rav Yisrael Salanter's vision, and he successfully implemented it into the curriculum of the yeshivas. So Rav Yitzchak Blaser, Rav Itzel Blaser, the Rav of Petterburg, of St. Petersburg, so he popularized this question, and he explains the following. Rabbeinu Yoina, in the Sha'arei Tshuva, we've quoted things from Rabbeinu Yoina in Sha'arei Tshuva before, he emphasizes how great the obligation to do Tshuva is during this time. And says Rabbeinu Yoina, not only is Tshuva, it's like everything in life, not only is Tshuva a privilege, but it's also a tremendous responsibility. And explains Rabbeinu Yoina that there's an obligation to do Tshuva, to repent, and there's actually a punishment coming to someone who neglects doing Tshuva. Hashem, after all, gave us such a gift, the ability to repent, the ability to correct our ways, the ability to show Hashem how much we love Him and that we want to become close to Him. The word tshuva, by the way, means to return. Theoretically, even if the person is utterly righteous and never sinned, the person could still do tshuva. There's still a form of tshuva that would be appropriate for someone who's righteous to come even closer to Hashem. Tshuva is not just about scrubbing our slates clean as if you want to get rid of the punishment or you want to get rid of a sin. Tshuva is much deeper than that. Tshuva is expressing our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that we want to get closer and closer to Hashem. Through doing tshuva, through becoming closer to Hashem, automatically Hashem forgives us of our sins. There is a mechanism. We're supposed to articulate what we did wrong to Hashem. That way we sort of acknowledge it to ourselves. We have to have remorse. We have to accept upon ourselves to implement ways that it won't happen again. But it's not just about simply removing the punishment of a sin. Tshuva is much more than that. Tshuva is returning to Hashem, and then Hashem sees how much we want to return, so He accepts us back and forgives and helps us and cleans everything that we've done wrong in the past. So Rabbeinu Yoina goes, and he says how important it is to do tshuva, and not doing tshuva is sort of throwing the gift back, kaviyochel, in Hashem's face. So the Rabbeinu Yoina says the following, Mishuhu Beinuni, Rosh Hashanah. This is the Rav Yitzchak Blaser talking based on the Rabbeinu Yoina. Somebody who is in a Beinuni, an average person in Rosh Hashanah, Shemaisav Shekulin, so his deeds are on the scale, V'layuchal Oz Lispois Badin, and he's trying to merit the din. V'hu Tali V'oimit, he's pending, his din is pending, it's being weighed on the scale. And his Gemar Din, the ceiling of the din, will be on Yom Kippur. So the obligation to do tshuva at this time, says Rav Yitzchak Blaser, based on the Rabbeinu Yoina, is so strong. And the mitzvah, the actual mitzvah is, lefnei Hashem titaru. We say that in the pasuk, in the chumash, and we say it on in the davening, that before Hashem you must purify yourself. Someone who does not do tshuva during this time, especially on Yom Kippur, which is the zman tshuva, lakol, to everyone, Hashem is willing to forget, is prepared to forgive everyone. And it's a ketz and it's a mechila uslicha. We say this in Ne'ilah, that it's a ketz mechila uslicha liyisrael, that Yom Kippur is like a final opportunity. We can do tshuva all year round, but it's a final opportunity to this special window where Hashem is prepared to accept us and forgive us and to elevate us and to bring us close and to purify us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzui. He's to be found, and he's close, like he said before. So says Rav Yitzchak Blaser, "Minias haTshuva b'vav yom kadosh hazeh." The mere fact that we're not doing tshuva is already such a serious shortcoming, on top of everything else that the person might have done wrong. That's why the Rambam writes that the balance between the mitzvahs and the averis, there's no way to tilt the scale in our favor without doing tshuva. Because not doing tshuva itself would outweigh anything or almost anything that we could possibly do. And Rav Yitzchak Blaser, he brings the same pasuk that the Gemara in Kedushim says, Yoiva toivas harbe, that not doing tshuva during this time could already cause us to lose out a lot. So that's why the Beinoni, that's why the person who's hanging in the balance, where he's going to be sealed on Yom Kippur, if he doesn't do tshuva, so I put it in bold, here's the punchline from the Rabbi Yitzchak Lazer, it's not going to help to do another mitzvah, because against that, you already have, you accrued the tremendous debit of not doing tshuva, and that's machria, the kaf avoinis. And who knows how heavy it is on the scale, the fact that we did not do tshuva. So just to summarize. So the question was, if the person's a beinoni, if the person is in the middle, and he's hanging in the balance, so why can't I just do another mitzvah, and then the other mitzvah should be enough to tilt the scale? So Rav Yitzchak Blazer is answering that I guess theoretically that would be possible, that a person could do another mitzvah and tilt the scale. The problem is that not doing tshuva, in lieu of tshuva, nothing will come close to what we could have accomplished through tshuva, and the lack of the tshuva is already going to tilt the scale the opposite, because Hashem is giving us such an opportunity, and if we don't grab that, if we don't utilize that opportunity, nothing will come close to what we could have accomplished through tshuva. That's why the Rambam specifically says that the only practical way to merit is through tshuva. And that could be why the Yishalmi and why the Bavli say the same thing. There's a Meshech Chachma. This is a famous Meshech Chachma from Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk. So the Meshech Chachma says the same idea. He's not specifically referring to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Meshech Chachma says the following. Din v'cheshben. This is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Din v'cheshben. So the Vilna Gaon here is not specifically referring to Yom Kippur, but the Vilna Gaon says, what's the expression din v'cheshben? The Gemara tells us that everybody is asid litenes ha-din v'cheshben. Everybody's going to have to give din and cheshben. It seems like it's superfluous. Din means we're going to have to give like a reckoning, cheshben. We're going to have to give like a calculation. So is it just like repeated for emphasis? What's the difference between the expression din v'cheshben? So the Vilna Gaon, it's a well-known idea. The Vilna Gaon says that din refers to the actual avera. Imagine if a person sets aside time to do an avera. He sits down and he's gossiping. He calls somebody up on the phone in order to share a juicy piece of gossip. So he's set aside time to do an avera. Din refers to the severity of the avera itself. Cheshbon refers to what the person could have accomplished positively during that time. So the cheshbon is the mitzvahs that he could have done during that time of the avera. Din is the actual avera itself. A person sets aside time to do an avera, so that's a terrible thing. The person did an avera. We have to assess the severity of the avera. The cheshbon is not only are we responsible for the negativity that we did, but look how that time could have been used positively. That's the cheshbon. That's the calculation. The din is the actual judgment, and the cheshbon is the calculation, what could have been accomplished instead of having destroyed. Now, the Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, he goes on with this yesoid of the Vilna Gaon, and he writes here very powerfully, very beautiful, very very powerfully, very passionately. Ulefi zeh, says the Rav Meir Simcha, tesamer Cyrus enosh b'yom kippur, a person's hair should stand on end on Yom Kippur. The responsibility is so great, says Rav Meir Simcha, because we hold, the Kaimelon, we hold, that together with tshuva, Yom Kippur is mechaper even on the most serious of sins. So Yom Kippur is such a gift that it's an opportunity that we can completely cleanse ourselves, get a clean slate, start over again, and be close to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So says Rav Meir Simcha, kama gadol ha-cheshbon, if we understand the Vilna Gaon's idea, that there's a cheshbon, besides what we're actually doing, we always have to assess what could have been done instead. Says the Meshech Chachma, how great is the cheshbon on this day? Shenene gama yochad, even an individual, even if a person is davening alone on his own without a minion, a person is guaranteed to be answered. Ve'ein hasatan sholet alav, and the Gemara in Yuma tells us that the Yetzirah is non-existent on this day. if you stop to think on Yom Kippur, you'll see that you're not tempted as much to do averas. You know, sometimes just through pure inertia, we have a habit, we do things wrong, but we don't feel the drive, we don't feel the temptation to do an avera. That's because the Gemara tells us that the Satan is not given permission to tempt us on this day. We're mamish like malachim, and we don't have a yetzahara on this day. It's easy to do tshuva. We're given, it's a simple, easy opportunity to merit eternal life and to be loved by Hashem. So says Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chacham, im chalila, if chas v'shalom, loy osik tshuva, a person does not do tshuva, yuchal liyois oynish al cheshbin, there's going to be a punishment on the cheshbin. In other words, the alternative. Imagine if the person doesn't do tshuva. Okay, he didn't do tshuva, a lost opportunity. But look at the cheshbin. Look at what could have been accomplished during this time. We have the idea that he simply didn't fulfill the positive commandment to do tshuva. But look at the cheshbin, look at the results, look at the consequences. Look what he could have done at this time. Holding back from doing tshuva, that could be worse than all of the sins that the person has together. And this last sin could be more serious. The fact that we didn't perform the mitzvah of tshuva, the fact that we didn't seize this opportunity, could be more serious than anything wrong that the person possibly could have did. Now, Rav Meir Simcha drives the point home. A person gets up on Yom Kippur, and the person makes the bracha shehecheyanu. It's interesting because we just had last week that the Gemara in Eruvin concludes that we recite shehecheyanu on Yom Kippur. It wasn't so simple. But we say shehecheyanu. We thank Hashem for letting us live to this point, that we have this great gift of Yom Kippur. Shezeh be'emes simcha amitis. It is a tremendous joy, the fact that we have the opportunity of Yom Kippur. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us one day a year where we have a Yom Slicha. It's easy to get a kapara, to get atoned, to get pardoned for any sins that we've done. And we don't even have the Yetzihara there to stop us. And it's Yaos, says Rav Meir Simcha. It's takafit. It deserves a shechion. We should thank Hashem for giving us such a day. However, says Rav Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chachma, if a person does not seize the opportunity of Yom Kippur, and the person does not do tshuva, so look what he says, mutav loy shelo haya yom kadosh hazeh. It would be better for him if he never would have had this Yom Kippur. So he's driving home the point. We're up there, we're standing there with our kittels, we're shuckling away, we're saying shehechiyanu. We're thanking Hashem for having given us life to live until this point, because look at this great gift that you're giving us. But if we squander it, if we don't utilize the opportunity to do tshuva, look what he says. Mutav loy shenepcha shel yosei al panav be'erev yom ha-kadosh hazeh. It would be better for this person, if we go into Yom Kippur planning to not do tshuva, it would be better if the person's shel yosei, his placenta, would overturn, and he will be miscarried on Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, it would be better if he never would have been born in the first place if the person plans to squander away his Yom Kippur. Because ki ayoyim hazeh hichbil oid oinkshoyim lebli kates. Because there's no end to the calamity, to the recklessness of not doing tshuva on this day. The cheshbon, the calculation. Look what could have been accomplished, and look what was not accomplished at this special opportunity, not doing tshuva. Al zeh yidvu kol doyim dvoyim, that this is something that we should get sick over. Hashiveinu Hashem v'nashuva eilecha be'emes u'betamim. And the Meshech Chachma ends off with a tefillah, with a prayer, that Hashem should assist us to do tshuva, and that we should be able to return to Him sincerely and perfectly, because we're given the opportunity. It's up to us to utilize that opportunity. Yom Kippur is a double-edged sword. We say shechiyanu because we appreciate the gift, but it's only a gift if we seize the opportunity and we utilize the opportunity. So this Meshech Chachma is basically saying the same exact thing as what Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer said. So this could be a possible explanation, and it's certainly true that not doing tshuva would probably outweigh anything that we could possibly do. So the avodas hayom, the job of the day, the call of the day, is to do tshuva. That's one of the reasons why the Rambam says that the only way to merit is through tshuva. We have to try to do tshuva. There's another teretz in the Achronim, and this is also a well-known answer, that it's a technical answer, it's a mathematical answer. So this is item Yud Aleph. There's another answer in the Achronim. The truth is, and Rav Aaron Cutler says this, it's part of a big essay, the truth is that even the average person, his din is actually written on Rosh Hashanah itself. And of course, it's based on the calculation of his deeds from the previous year, the cheshbon of the previous year. It really is written down on Rosh Hashanah. So it's going to be sealed on Yom Kippur. But it was written down already. We're being judged based on how we behaved or what we accomplished last year. So says the Achronim, says some of the commentaries, that the only way we can change Hashem's perspective of us from last year is through tshuva. Why? Because the Mefarshim explain, tshuva, repentance, has the ability to retroactively take away the aver. If a person feels bad and has remorse and learns about it, it actually can retroactively take away the severity of the chet. If I have 50-50 and I pile another mitzvah on the good side and I weigh my scale down, like the Gemara in Kedushin says, that's true. That could work. The only thing is, it's a technical answer. It's a mathematical answer. Any mitzvah I do after Rosh Hashanah is going to go to the cheshbon of next year. We're being judged and sealed about our state of affairs of the previous year. Rosh Hashanah is about the previous year. That's how Hashem looks at us. The only way we can change Hashem's perspective of how we were the previous year is through doing tshuva. It's very interesting how tshuva works. Tshuva is not just like a scrub that we scrub off the aver. Tshuva is that we're internally and we're fundamentally changing ourselves. So let's just talk a minute about how we can understand, we can scratch the surface and understand a little bit what tshuva does. So imagine if I do an avera. So at the time that I did an avera, so I might have known that it wasn't the right thing to do, but I made a poor choice and I did the avera. If I sit down now and I think about what I did, and perhaps I learn a little bit more about the severity of what I did, the importance of doing a mitzvah and making the right choice. So I can come to Hashem and I can say, Hashem, if I would have known then what I know now, I never would have done the chet. It's true that when I did the chet last year, in the middle of the year, so I did it deliberately. I knew I was doing something wrong at the time. But now I had a chance to sit down, I had a chance to think about it. And if I would be in that situation now, I would never do the chet because I learned more about it, I changed myself. And had I known then what I know now, had I been the way I am now, had I been then the way I am now, I never would have done the chet. So Hashem says, if that's the case, I'm going to disassociate you. I'm going to separate you from the chet because I'm going to treat it as if you did the chet by mistake. Because I accept the fact that you changed. I accept the fact that you never would have done it had you been the way you were now, had you been then the way you are now. And that's how Hashem could sort of discount what we did then. That's the novelty of tshuva. If a person does tshuva out of love for Hashem, so then not only does the deliberate sin get knocked down and treated as a mistake, but it can even turn into a mitzvah. Why is that? Because if we sit down and we think about all of the good that Hashem gives us, and in spite of the fact that I'm not deserving of that good, what that does is it could cause me to love Hashem even more. Look, I have so many insufficiencies, I have so many deficiencies, and still Hashem gives me everything that I need, and still Hashem gives me an opportunity and I can serve Hashem. I'm going to love Hashem even more as a result of that. So it turns out that the chet that we might have done in the middle of the year is actually a catalyst. It can actually be a driving force. It can be like a motivating force to be even better. So again, Hashem says that I'm going to count what you did back then as a mitzvah because it actually brought you closer. So tshuva is the only mechanism that doesn't just pile mitzvahs on top of whatever is there, but it actually redoes the foundation itself, and Hashem looks at us differently. Since we're being judged on the previous year, so this is the idea from the Achronim of Aaron Cutler, says this, tshuva is the only thing that could cause Hashem to reevaluate how we are from the previous year, because tshuva, the chiddush, the novelty, the gift of tshuva, changes Hashem's perspective of us almost retroactively. That's Rav Aaron Cutler's answer. Another good answer, and it's another true point. There's a third answer, which is a really fundamental answer that a lot of Achrayim, a lot of commentaries work with this, and this is really changes our entire perspective. We talk about somebody utterly righteous, we talk about somebody who's utterly wicked, and then we talk about the average person. We look at the average person sort of like in a simplistic way, that his merits and his sins and merits are like exactly equal. So the Mefarshim dig a little deeper. What exactly is a Beinoni? What's an average person? They bring the Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara in Brachas on Samach Aleph Amud Beis says, Tanya Rav Yosi Aglili Oimer. The Gemara in Brachas gives us a new perspective on what a Beinoni actually is. It's not somebody whose merits and sins, they coincidentally are exactly equal. Says Rav Yosi Aglili, Tzadikim, what's the definition of a tzaddik? Somebody who's Yetzer Tov V'Shoifta. Somebody who's judged by his Yetzer Tov. Every action he does is motivated by the Yetzer Tov. The Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Li b'chol b'kirbi, that David HaMelech says about himself, that he doesn't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. All he has is a Yetzer Tov. His heart is dead. His desires are dead inside. He so purified himself, he doesn't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. David HaMelech was a tzaddik. He's completely motivated only by his Yetzer Tov. Rishoyim, what's a Rasha? The Gemara tells us, Yetzer Ra Shoifta. A Rasha is someone who is Yetzer Hara, is what judges him, is what motivates him. Everything he does is tainted. Even if a Rasha, an utterly wicked person, even if he manages to do a good deed, but it has an ulterior motive. We're talking about an utterly wicked person. It has an ulterior motive. What's in it for me? He's doing it lo lishma. He's doing it for ulterior motives. He's doing it to cause the other person to be indebted to him. Or he's doing a mitzvah, ben adam lemakom, because everyone else is doing it. He wants to get honor. Whatever the reason is, but he is judged. He's motivated by his yetzer hara. That's a rasha. What's a bein? And the Gemara cites a pasuk also. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ne'um. Pesha l'rasha bekerav libi ein pachad elokim l'neged einav. That there's no fear of Hashem. He's not driven at all by the fear of Hashem. What's a beinoni? What's an average person? A beinoni is someone, like most of us, that zebezeh shoifton. We're conflicted. Everything we do, there's a little bit of a yetzer toiv over there. There's a little bit of a yetzer hara over there. Everything we do, we're always conflicted. We always feel that we're being pulled in different directions. The pasuk says, "Yamoy liyamin evyoy moshiyah mishoyftei nafshoy." Hashem stands at the right side of the poor person to save him from the from shoyftei, plural, those that judge his soul. The Gemara takes that to mean that he's judged. He's conflicted. There's a little bit of a yitzhara. There's a little bit of a yitzhar toiv. Like the Gemara says, "Oyli miyitzri, oyli miyoytzri." That whatever we do, we feel the tension of the other side. We do a mitzvah, we feel the pull of the Yetzer Hara. We do a mitzvah, we do an Aveira, we feel the pull of the Yetzer Tov. Everything we do. And if we do an action, there's always sort of like a dual motivation to everything. That's what a Beinoni is. So a tzaddik is someone who everything he does is driven by the Yetzer Tov. A Rasha is someone, an utter Rasha is someone who everything he does is driven by the Yetzer Hara. An average person means everything he does is a dual motivation. He's conflicted. There's a little bit of a lishma in there. There's a little bit of a low lishma in there. Everything he does, it's a mixture. So here's the answer. The answer is that a beinoni is not simply mathematics, that there's 50 sins, 50 mitzvahs, so we just have to get to the 51 mitzvahs, and then it'll be one more mitzvah than the aveira, and it'll tip the scale. The Gemara in Kiddushin, when it presents the person with the idea, with the imagery, that a person is in the middle, he's in the balance, because the Gemara in Kiddushin is not really describing a real-life scenario that a person has exact amount of mitzvahs, exact amount of averus. The Gemara in Kiddushin is more of a motivational tool. That's how we should go through life, realizing that every action that we do matters. But a real beinoni is someone who's conflicted and is everything he does, he's dual motivated. So in other words, it's not going to help to do another mitzvah. What Hashem is looking for here is a fundamental change. Rav Huttner in Pachat Yitzchak says it like this. He says in Rosh Hashanah Maimer Yudches. He says like this. Bavadai gam beinunis hi mida b'nefesh. He says being an average person is a mida. It's not a mathematics. It's not a calculation. It's a mida. It's an attribute. It's a personality. Mediocrity. The person is a beinuni. What does that mean? That means that the person is mesiaches al rav et latoy. The person identifies himself with good and bad, sometimes good, sometimes bad. He's not committed to one more than the other. He's not associated with one more than the other. He's an average person, like most of us. We try, we're average, mediocrity. So we do mitzvahs, we do averis, but we're not committed to one thing more than the other. It's a mida, it's an attribute, it's a personality, it's a state, it's a status. That's what the person is. The mida of a beinoni is this choiser hisdaas. It's missing, like being truly committed, truly associated with one more than the other. And this mida, tamoid be'ein ubetakfa. So that's what the Rav Huttner explains, that this mida is still going to be there even if we do another mitzvah. And even if we do mitzvahs that we technically have more mitzvahs than averis, but the mida, the attribute, the personality, the mediocrity is still there. Midas beinonis. And as long as the mida is discerned as a mida beinonis, you know, there used to be an expression, I don't hear it so much anymore. When I was growing up, I used to hear an expression, you know, I'm a b'yeved Jew. I'm a b'yeved, right? So everything the person does, it's b'yeved. He's yoitza. After the fact, I don't hear that expression so much anymore. So Rav Huttner explains a beinoni is somebody who it's an attribute. A tzaddik is somebody where he identifies he's committed with the good. A rasha is somebody who's committed to the bad. A beinoni is somebody who's sort of non-committal. So nothing that we're going to do is going to change that. So that's why the Rambam explains Rav Huttner. That's why the Rambam says. He changes the lashon of the Gemara, and this is really going to be the explanation for the Yishalmi and the Bavli, Rabbeinu Chanan, that the only way to fundamentally change yourself is through tshuva. It's not just to do another mitzvah, because the kavana of tshuva, like we were explaining before, tshuva is a process that the person actually changes his mahus, he changes his essence, he changes his mida, and only through tshuva could he enter the mechitza? This is Rav Huttner's expression. Does he enter the partition? Does he enter the category of ruvai schuyas, that he has a majority of schuyas, which means that he's committed to the good, and he should be yechtam wa'alta l'chaim, he can be sealed for chaim. The Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet, midarkei tshuva, it's the way of tshuva that a person should be shav, he should return, he should repent, and he should cry before Hashem, crying and davening. He should perform tzedakah to the best of his ability. He should distance himself from sins. And look what the Rambam says, I highlighted it. Mishanesh shmo, he should change his name. In other words, it doesn't mean literally. He should change who he is. Kloimar, ani acher ve'eni oisi isha asa oisi ma'isim. I'm a new man, I'm a new person. I'm not the same person who committed those acts yesterday. I would never do those things now. I'm changed, I'm different, I'm committed. And he changes his ma'isa of kula matoivol derech yishara, and now he's on the proper path. So that is the idea of a true bal tshuva. This is the opportunity of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. We had a wonderful Rosh Hashanah, and it was an inspiring Rosh Hashanah. We have a Yom Kippur coming up. It's a gift. We say Shechiyanu. It's a tremendous gift. We have the opportunity to shake hands with Hashem's hand is reaching out to us. Hashem is prepared to accept our tshuva and to help us, give us siyata d'shmaya, like was mentioned, to give us the help that we need and we want, and we can change ourselves. So the only way we can really be zoicha is, number one, if we realize the importance of the tshuva and don't squander the important, the precious opportunity that we have. Another idea of the tshuva is that it changes retroactively who we are. And finally, it fundamentally changes us that we're committed. It gives us a commitment. And that's what Hashem wants to see. That's That's the way, that's the key to be zeicha, that we should all have a gemar chasim, a toiv, and a good gebeng shdor. We should be zeicha to many, many more years of learning together and steiging together. Yasha koyach, everybody.
I heard that it was mentioned.